the month of July, we've been talking about radical forgiveness. This is the third in a series of four messages on that topic. First, we explored that forgiving is not forgetting, and used the wisdom of the Truth and Reconciliation Council of South Africa to guide us. Last week, we looked at the difficult and repetitive nature of forgiveness using the lifelong quest for forgiveness from the book The Sunflower by Simon Wiesenthal, a survivor of one of the Nazi concentration camps. This morning, we take a look at another group who has modeled for us forgiveness, the Amish community just up the road in Lancaster County, who after the Nichols Mine shooting did radical and visible forgiveness in October of 2006. Next week, in case you're curious, looking ahead, we're going to take all of this wisdom and apply it to ourselves and get a turn to do something concrete in order to forgive others. All of this chips away at the radical forgiveness that Jesus modeled for us and called us to live each and every day. Back in the spring when Marie Monville came here to speak, I heard you all and the community at large eager to hear about the effects of this forgiveness, the radical forgiveness her family was offered. From this book here, Amish Grace, How Forgiveness Transcended Tragedy, it says this: the Amish commitment to forgive is not a small patch tacked on to the fabric of faithfulness. Instead, it is a commitment intricately woven into their lives and into their communities. So I found myself wondering, is forgiveness central to our faith? Or is it just something that a few saintly people who we admire do and the rest of us should just give up because we can't figure it out anyway? To me, this is the question that Peter asked Jesus. Can't you relate to Peter just a little bit? Can you hear him saying, Jesus, this forgiveness thing is hard. If I try it once, is that okay? Have I done what I was supposed to? You want me to keep on forgiving again and again and again? So many times that I lose track of who's ahead in our argument anyway? It's from this passage that our Amish brothers and sisters embrace the seriousness of our faith. Forgiveness is more than just a good idea that helps us out in the long run. It's a central part of our faith. Our forgiveness is tied up with the forgiveness of others, perhaps just in a local sense, but I'd suggest in a cosmic sense as well. We're not able to know the tender heartedness of others when we're focused on vengeance and retaliation. We miss the forgiving nature of some people when we're planning how to get back at them for what they did. And forgiveness, my friends, is more than just a mental relinquishment of a desire to hurt one another, although that's important. Forgiveness is not just our beliefs and our thoughts. Forgiveness is tested through our actions. So the emotions of the families whose daughters were murdered were not as central as the actions of reconciliation and care offered to the family of the shooter. This is a picture of the trail of buggies going to the funeral of Charles Robert, the shooter of that case. even though he was dead, the families could have shunned him. We would have understood. They could have disconnected completely. Instead, they showed empathy for a wife and for three children, even by attending his burial, setting up scholarship funds for the kids, and providing meals so that Mom didn't have to think about cooking dinner. In other words, the Amish of Nichols' minds didn't vilify the killer. They treated his family, and by extension him, as members of the human community. Now I imagine each and every morning when these families woke up without their beloved children, down at the breakfast table, they had to forgive again. I imagine they still mourned deeply the tragic loss of children, but they chose not to wish revenge and violence on the ones who caused the suffering. They chose to pray for Marie and her family. They told them that even as they remembered their own families. Forgiving and remembering each morning that allowed them to remember those things which cannot be forgotten. Now, let me be clear. I'm not suggesting an Amish way of living per se for any one of us. Good old peanuts. I'm encouraging us to take a look at the way in which our Amish brothers and sisters are leading us here in how to understand the forgiveness that Jesus has been teaching us all along. I believe they are embodying a lived out forgiveness, not just a mental kind of forgiveness. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, giving some concrete instructions about what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. Paul's worried. How is this new church going to look as they live out their faith? And so he tells them, put away anything bitter, any wrath or anger, that wrangling and slander, malice. Be kind and tender-hearted. Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Now, he didn't say, listen, he didn't say banish from your mind all the difficult times you've ever experienced. He didn't say suppress the way that others have persecuted you and harmed you. He said remove the vengeance, the anger, the bitterness, and the desire for others to be torn down. Act like one who first values the humanity in others, and second, the actions they've taken. The parable of the unforgiving servant could be boiled down, that's going to be hard to read, but boiled down to a story that inspires fear and retribution. Do this, or this happens to you. But I think Jesus is saying more. I think Jesus is saying the act of forgiving changes us. As we are forgiven, we're not changed until the moment someone else sins against us and we choose not to respond with vengeance, but with tenderness. We change our actions when God's forgiveness is offered to those who don't deserve it whatsoever. We're changed by actions. We release the need and the attachment to vengeance when our actions forgive. Each time a friend or a coworker hurts us and we think, just wait, they'll get it. That's just coming right down the pike. To them, we've held on to vengeance a little too long. Each time we hope that justice is retributive instead of restorative. We've held on to vengeance. Again, we're not called, my friends, to be a people of vengeance. We're called to be a people of love who share God's forgiveness and who seek restorative justice. We're called to be a people who follow the way of Christ. We follow a Jesus who said there aren't too many times to forgive someone. We follow Jesus who says, I've lived the concrete actions of forgiveness, so you would have seen what it looks like to act in forgiveness. We follow a Jesus who forgives us, even when we act with anger and vengeance, even when we push away from God. You and I, we follow a Jesus who stretched out his arms in love and gave forgiveness by living and giving his life for us. This is the kind of radical forgiveness God calls us to offer too. Concrete actions that others can see. So I wonder, how is God calling you to live out forgiveness today? Who do you need to forgive and do in such an undeniable way that concrete images of love would be what somebody peeking through the window would see? Where do you need to live out love and make it known that your life points to the God who has forgiven you? Ultimately, forgiveness is not about you and it's not about me. Forgiveness is about community. Forgiveness is about relationships and the image of God being whole in all of us. Forgiveness is about reminding one another who God is and how God has put God's own image inside of us. Forgiveness is ushering in the kingdom of God, one person at a time. How is God calling you to forgive today? This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.